This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Now, building your own home can be one of the most exciting and stressful experiences of your life, from contracts and cost blowouts to dodgy workmanship and delays. There's a lot to manage, but what if you could avoid the most common traps? Well, joining us now is Nicole Rich, Director of Consumer Affairs Victoria, to walk us through the key things you need to know before and during the building process. Nicole, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Warren.
Thanks for joining us. First things first, do building practitioners actually need to be licensed?
Well, that is a great question, because they don't need to be licensed necessarily. So they do need to be registered for most purposes, although not all either. So this is a really, really important point. If you're getting a builder for basically any work that's worth more than $10,000, then yes, under the law, only a registered building practitioner can do that work. So, you know, a top tip is to check the Building and Plumbing Commission to make sure that your builder is registered. You know, if it's a smaller work, or it's like a, what we call a single trade, like just painting or just fencing, there's actually no licensing or registration. If you're an electrician or a plumber or a gas fitter, then there is registration or licensing that's required. So you should definitely check if your plumber or your electrician is licensed.
Nicole, a lot of people feel overwhelmed when choosing a builder or a tradie. I've got to admit, I'm trying to choose a builder at the moment, and it's really difficult. What are your tips for finding someone qualified and experienced?
Look, it is really tough. I agree. You know, you're kind of at a disadvantage, aren't you? Because builders are doing this all the time, and you're doing one-off really expensive projects. So you want to get it right. And, you know, choosing the right builder is one of the kind of key things. It's going to make sure that you have a good experience. So there's a few things that we would recommend doing. We would certainly suggest getting more than one written quote from a builder. So probably getting two or three written quotes, I think, is pretty important. You know, the good old fashioned asking family and friends for recommendations or advice about people they know who have used builders, who have had a good experience, is really great. And like I said before, make sure you're using an established builder or tradesperson, depending on what you're getting done. So really, even if it's a small piece of work, I would strongly suggest you make sure that your builder is registered, and that they can provide some examples of their work. The other thing I'd say is, you know, just check the quotes. So when you're getting those quotes, make sure you have a look at them carefully, because just because a quote is cheaper, you know, make sure you see what it actually covers. Does it actually cover all of the items that you're wanting? Does it cover the entire build and the finishes and the materials you want or not? Because there might be some sort of sneaky surprises if you're not clear on what the quote covers.
And when we get to the contract, that can feel a bit intimidating, especially for first-timers. Yeah. Nicole, what are the most important things that we should look at before we sign the actual contract?
Yeah, the you know, home building contracts can be pretty chunky.
Oh,
so
huge.
You know, you're going to sit down with a cup of tea in the evening, and you're going to be reading through that thing. It's big. You know, I definitely recommend. I mean, you know, we go through life every day, sort of clicking I accept online, don't we, Warren? So you know, we're not always reading the terms and conditions. I think before you sign up for what is going to be a big building project on your home, that's probably going to be a lot of money, this is one of the ones where you shouldn't do that. You really need to sit down and read it. Be clear about what's in the contract and what your obligations are, as well as the builder's. As I say, check that your builder is registered. If you're doing any works that are worth more than $10,000 or more, that the contract does need to be a written contract. So make sure you actually have a contract. That's pretty important.
Right.
And then the other top tip is, there's a lot of information available on our website, the Consumer Affairs Victoria website, including what's called the Domestic Building Consumer Guide. It's a requirement that the builder give you the guide, but you should also just check our website, where we've got tons of really good, easy to understand information. And I really strongly urge people to read that before you sign the contract.
Now, Nicole, let's say we're happy with the contract, we're going to sign it. When should we pay a deposit, and how much should we be paying?
Yes, so it would be pretty typical that you'd be asked to pay a deposit once you sign the contract. So that in itself is not you know, surprising or necessarily concerning. But there are some rules around it. So again, like if you're just dealing with a tradie, there's actually no rules around deposits. So, you know, sometimes we see these cases where they ask for most of the money or the full payment up front and then things can go wrong. So, you know, definitely don't do that. But there is no regulation, so you kind of have to think about what's reasonable. But for builders and building works, there is pretty strict rules. So by law, the builder can't ask for a deposit of more than 10% of the total price if the job is a smaller job, if it's worth less than $20,000. Once you're getting to $20,000 or more, they can't ask for more than 5% upfront as the deposit. So again, all of that's on our information on the website, which is why it's really important people have a look. But definitely do not pay deposits higher than that for building work. But the other thing is that the law has been changed in Victoria now, just to clarify this, and we can talk about insurance a bit more. But, you know, there were some unfortunate incidences in the last couple of years in Victoria where builders went into liquidation, and they were meant to have bought a domestic building insurance policy to cover the customers, and they hadn't done that yet. So people lost their deposits, or at least, you know, they're going to scramble to get them back. Now, it is a legal requirement that the builder take out a domestic building insurance policy before they take any money from the consumer or the homeowner. So do not pay your deposit until you've got confirmation that the builder has purchased the insurance policy and you've seen the certificate of insurance. And it's actually a criminal offence for the builder not to do that. So you are well within your rights to demand to see the insurance policy before you hand over any hard-earned money.
That's really good to know, because it would be devastating, wouldn't it? I mean, we're not talking, you know, $50. We're talking thousands of dollars here that potentially could be lost.
Correct. So, and, you know, you can really struggle to then find, you know, how do you restart your building project when you've lost such a big chunk of money up front? So it's really devastating. It left a lot of people, you know, very impacted. You can imagine how stressful and emotional it was for people. So that's why the law's been changed, just to clarify that it's actually now really clearly a criminal offence. So it's not to say somebody won't do it in the future, but there'll be some pretty strong penalties. But the best thing to know as the consumer is, don't hand over the money until you've seen the insurance policy.
We're chatting to Nicole Rich, Director of Consumer Affairs Victoria, about what we all need to know before building a home. Nicole, are you expected to make payments during the build, even before it's finished?
Yeah, that's probably pretty typical, Warren, as well. So, and again, another reason why you should just sit down and really go through the contract, just to understand what the stage payments, or what we sometimes call progress payments, will be. So that would be typical. Like, you know, if you think about it, if it's a big build, there's a lot of money that's going to be paid, it's probably not unreasonable that the builder doesn't want to have to rely on you paying the whole thing at the end, and there are going to be costs all through the project too, right? So it's not unreasonable that the builder wants to have some progress payments along the way. So there'll be the deposit, then there'll probably be some progress payments. But again, there are laws around how the progress payments work, and it's a little bit complicated. There's different rules depending on exactly what your contract covers and how much building work you're getting done and so on, and also the total amount of your contract. So rather than kind of, you know, confuse everybody with all the details, this is one of the really key areas where it's very important that you read our website before you sign up, and just to understand what your progress payments are going to be. But probably the key rule is you shouldn't be making any payments for work that hasn't been done yet. So you shouldn't be paying lots of upfront money for works that haven't been completed. Instead, the way it would work is you generally sort of pay progress payments as particular stages of the work are completed. So just remember that, and you shouldn't be paying everything upfront.
Nicole, just quickly, can the price increase once you've signed the contract? Can the builder come back and say, look, you know, this is a bit more expensive than I thought, and bump up the cost?
That's been a really big issue in Victoria, particularly, you know, after COVID, and there was like this, lots of reporting you would have seen in the media about the costs of labour and materials going up, and builders really struggling with that and needing to kind of renegotiate prices. So that's been a really big issue. So typically you'll see fixed price contracts. So there are some circumstances where the builder might want to increase the cost, and that's not necessarily unreasonable. If there might be some really reasons outside control of the builder, and it might be worth trying to negotiate in good faith. But generally speaking, you should be really clear on what the cost is going to be up front. The builder, like, it's inevitable that there'll be some delays, right? Like weather, all those kind of things. So that's supposed to be built into the contract, and that in and of itself is not an excuse to just kind of have huge delays or increases in cost. That should be factored in, but sometimes like things can really hit you from left field that you weren't predicting. But the key thing is to remember that the builder can't make changes to your contract without your agreement and sign off. So we do encourage people to kind of look at it with reasonableness and kind of try and negotiate in good faith where you need to, but don't be pressured into signing off on anything without your consent. It does need your consent before changes can be made.
Gina in Fitzroy says, can Nicole come with me when I pick my builder, please? Love how clear this was.
Yeah, I don't blame you, Gina. It is a really tough choice. Like, all I can say again is, like, ask around, friends and family, references are gold. You know, make sure that you kind of know what they've done before and that people have had a good experience.
Nicole, we've run out of time, unfortunately, but I know you're a Gaga fan, so turn your radio up and thanks for joining us, because I'm going to play some Gaga for you.
Thanks, Warren, I will.
Thanks, Nicole. Nicole Rich, Director of Consumer Affairs Victoria. Bookmark their website, consumer.vic.gov.au. There are so many resources there. consumer.vic.gov.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.